Let me start over. Hey, boys and girls, this is going to be a very brief episode. I had an interesting experience happen recently, and I told a couple of people about it, but I thought I should get it down for posterity, because, you know, this is not going to happen again. So I figured I'd tell you guys. My friend Jeff is moving to Germany, and he has gotten into his head that he's never coming back. I don't know if Trump has anything to do with it. No, he's just, you know, it's a big decision to move out of the country, and he's going to sell his house. And so, you know what? I've talked about this in an episode that hasn't dropped yet, but will, like 6 months from now after Jeff is a memory. But instead of putting his stuff in long-term storage or, you know, storing it in his parents' basement or, you know, having people hold on to the things that he really can never replace, Jeff has just decided to give it all away. Yeah, that's so weird. We all got together at his house on a Sunday afternoon, and I thought it was inadvertent, but I guess he had mentioned, you know, I'm having a get-together. And his brother came, and his sister came, and their many kids came, and I was there with my nephews. And we were all watching something, but at some point, Jeff's brother and sister went into the library, and they started making piles of things. And eventually, the kids all ran in there, and they all started making piles of things. Well, I want this, and I want this. This is mine.
This one's mine.
And it was kind of ghoulish. I may have already told this story, but everybody was, you know, just making piles of stuff that would be theirs, and I shouted, "The body isn't even cold yet!" Jeff's 14-year-old niece called dibs on his comic book collection. Now, Jeff's been collecting comics almost as long as I have. I had a probably 8 or 9 year stretch where I stopped buying comics because of various reasons. One of them being that comics cost an unbelievable amount of money. And Jeff didn't. Jeff collected comics from pretty much from like 1984, 85 to, I don't know, like 2006, 2007. But Jeff's niece said, "I get dibs on the comics," which bummed me out because I know he, I knew at the time he had some some valuable stuff. Plus, you know, if anybody gets his comic book collection, it should be me who's talked comic books with him for 30 years. Well, 25 years. But the niece spoke for him, and so he has all these long boxes of comics that are in bags and boards, because Jeff took good care of his stuff, even from when he was a little kid. Then Eric, Jeff's brother, who's really uptight and really religious and stuff, he started saying, no. And I heard him saying that, and because my nephews were in the room, in the library, you know, trying to collect, like, they collected the, what are those books called of the My Life in Middle School Was Hell books, and they made movies of it. I want to say there's like Confessions of a Dweeb or something like that. They started making piles of these books that they wanted, and my nephew got all these magic treehouse books, and I don't know. There was like a official handbook to the X-Men universe book that my nephew got. But I thought that Eric was talking to my nephew, so I went in the room. But no, he was talking to his niece. Sorry, he was talking to his daughter, to Jeff's niece. She had gotten all these comic books, but Eric was looking through them, and there was stuff like Hellboy in there. There was John Constantine Hellblazer in there. There was The Walking Dead in there. And Eric said, you know, all of this stuff you have to throw away. You know, I don't want this stuff in my house. Eric had also called dibs on Jeff's DVD collection, but anything that was rated R was going into the trash. And I was horrified by this and also really, really offended by this. But, you know, Jeff's brother has always been that way. He's just a stick in the mud. He's no fun. And we all know people like that. But that he was saying this stuff had to be thrown away, you know, added insult to injury, where I felt like I should have got those comic books, but I didn't want to speak. I didn't want to call them. I didn't want to be a ghoul, like I said. I'm going to miss Jeff a lot. But yeah, if anybody should have got his comic books, it should have been me. Anyhow, I said, well, I'll take those. Any that you don't take, I will take. Please don't throw them away. And so Eric gave me this pile, or Eric's daughter, more like. I mean, Eric wouldn't deign to touch something called John Constantine Hellblazer. Ugh. But she gave me this pile, and it had The Walking Dead issue 2 through 36 in it. So there were 35 consecutive issues of The Walking Dead, and this was Robert Kirkman's original series from about 2003-2004. So I took them, and my brother-in-law's kid lives with us now, and he just turned 16, and he saw the box when I brought it home, and I think he was jealous because the boys, one is 5 and one is 8, were like, look at the haul that we got, you know, Rich's friend said that we could have this stuff, and I think he was jealous that, you know, I didn't get a ton of free stuff, that's not fair, and so he said, can I have these Walking Dead comics, and I was like, well, yeah, I mean, I guess you can, just let me look them up just in case, you know, because if I can get some money for them, I have the hardcovers of those Walking Deads. I have the collections, and you can just read the Walking Dead collection. So I went on eBay, and I tried to do a search. I mean, Jeff's first issue was Walking Dead issue 2, and I did a search for it, and I didn't find it. Well, what came up was like 612 entries found. And it included like Walking Dead action figures and Walking Dead seasons of the series and Walking Dead chastity belts and t-shirts and all this stuff. And so I put Image Comics Walking Dead issue 2, and it narrowed it down to, you know, like 83 results. And I, you know, none of them were what I was looking for. And so I put Robert Kirkman Image Comics issue 2, and I might have put book in there too, and no results came up. And I was just like, this is weird. How can there not be any results? I mean, what am I doing wrong in the search? I just couldn't find it. And so, you know, I did a search for like issue 36, which was the last one that he had. And I think one or two came up, because, you know, it's far rarer that something has a 36 on it. You know, there's not 36 seasons, there's not 36 waves of toys, there's not 36 sizes of shirts and stuff. And so that one came up, and yeah, it was like $10 here, you know, $13 here. And I was like, oh, okay, well, at least issue 36 is worth something. And so over a couple of nights, I decided to list Jeff's comics on eBay. I didn't know what they were worth, so I just started them as auctions, and I started them each for $9.99, because that's what issue 36 had gone for. Well, issue 36 went for a little bit more than that, but who cared? You know, they were all given to me, and they were going to be thrown out, right? So it took a while to do this. I'd say it took like between 5 and 12 minutes for each issue, because I had to take a picture of it, I had to describe it, I had to upload the picture, right? I had to, eBay has this thing where they have a library. And if you can find that item in the library, then a description comes up. And so I would try and look up each one, and just started them at $9.99. And, you know, half hour later, I got an email from some buyer who said, I'll give you $70 for all of them. And I considered taking him up on it. I was like, wow, $70, that's great. But you know, I'd already listed these four, and this guy didn't know that I had 35 issues. And, you know, if all 35 issues sold for 10 bucks each, that's way more than 70. And so I emailed him and said, you know, I've got a bunch more. I'm just going to start them all at $10. I think one of them may already have had a bid, like issue number two or three already had a bid, and it was up to like $10.50. And so I was like, well, rather than kill that auction and sell them all to you for $70, we'll just see where it goes. And that was wise. I never came very close to accepting this guy's offer. But as the days went by, holy cow, there were more and more bids on these things. And I came to realize that the reason I couldn't find Walking Dead issue 2 or Walking Dead issue 3 when I did that search was that people don't have them. They don't sell them. Apparently Image Comics didn't reprint them. All of the books were written by Kirkman with trade paperbacks in mind, where he would collect six issues into a trade paperback, and then immediately they'd put that available for sale, and then six more issues would come out, and they'd put out another trade paperback. And that's how I originally read those Walking Dead books. These trade paperbacks were everywhere. You could find them in bookstores, you could find them in brothels. Dentist's offices. So I guess Image never really felt like they had the need to reprint these books. And that made them rare, or at least uncommon. And so a week later, when the auctions were starting to end, I started getting notification after notification of bids on these items. So I've got an app on my phone. When I got the phone, one of the first things that I did was to install eBay on it, because for years I would call my cousin, even if it was in the middle of the night, and I would say, hey, I found this. Would you mind looking on eBay and seeing if it's worth picking up? And he would always say, well, you need to get a smartphone so you can just check yourself. He was right, but, you know, I was poor. I wasn't going to get a smartphone. He, you know, is one of those guys that gets a new iPhone every year or every other year. But I installed this app that every time I sell something or every time something gets a bid, it goes ka-ching, you know, like a cash register sound. And I was actually at Jeff's the night that those auctions were ending. And the phone made a noise a little bit like this. Ka-ching, 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 to the point where I had to, at first I turned it to vibrate, and the phone was going, and so I had to turn off the ringer altogether, because it was just so distracting. I got, I don't know how many, hundreds of bids, and usually things come through at the last minute. Anyhow, Jeff gave away these comics. They nearly went in the trash receptacle, right? Maybe it would have gone in the recycle bin. There would have been some kind of silver lining to that. But they sold for over $3,000. That's the kind of story that I heard as a kid or as a teenager or in my 20s when suddenly, like, old Star Wars figures were valuable and things like that. You know, that sort of thing is amazing to me. And when I presented Jeff with this money last week, I purposely put a bunch of, like, little bills on top. So, you know, there was a five and, like, six ones or whatever. And he's just like, wow, this is great. And then all the rest were hundreds. And he was floored, and as anybody would be. The only time you hold money that thick is if you're buying a car with cash or something like that. And so he bought lunch a couple of times, needless to say. Anyway, I wanted to tell that story while it was still fresh in my mind, because I think if I tell it over and over and over again, it will change. Do you know what I mean by that? If you tell a story enough times, your telling of the story replaces the memory of what actually happened. And so, rather than thinking back to when you were 6 years old and this thing happened to you, you think back to 2 years ago, the last time you told that story. At least that's how my mind works. And you know, this is a factual, detailed version of what happened. And now it's out there. And I just, I thought it would be cool to put this little story out there. People bought comic books up in the 1980s because they thought that they would be valuable. And the 90s, I guess, were the real decade. This thing called the speculator boom came close to killing comic books as an art form. So it's sort of understood that no comics are worth anything from the modern day. You know, you can get one or two here that are valuable. First appearance Deadpool or, you know, something like that. First Venom. But old comics are rare because people didn't take care of them. Because they were disposable entertainment, because they were children's entertainment, because paper drives in the war and things like that, people would gather up comics to pulp. There was anti-comic hysteria in the 1950s and comics were burned. You know, so there were all of these contributing factors that made old comic books worth something. And I still find it a little bit hard to believe that a comic from 10 years ago would be worth that much. And so, you know, it's good to record this story so people could say, wow, okay, that's cool. And maybe you've got a cousin or an ex-lover or whatever who had those old Robert Kirkman comics. And maybe you would want to see what you could get for them based on my story. Anyhow, kids, I'm going to let you go. But there's one more thing I'm going to share with you. And that is, no farts today. Sorry, better luck next time.
Do you like farting? 4, 3, 2. This is the end. Hold your breath and count to 10. Feel the earth move, and then hear my heart burst again. For this is the end. I've drowned and dreamt this moment. So overdue, I owe them. Swept away, I'm stolen. Let the sky fall. When it crumbles, we will stand tall. Face it all together. Let the sky fall. When it crumbles, we will stand tall and face it all together at skyfall. I might have to do that over.
That skyfall.
Skyfall is where we start. 1,000 miles and poles apart. When worlds collide and days are dark, you may have my number, you can take my name, but you'll never have my heart. Let the sky fall,
let the sky fall.
When it crumbles,
when it crumbles,
we will stand tall and face it all. Together, let the sky fall,
let the sky fall.
When it crumbles,
when it crumbles,
we will stand tall,
we will stand tall,
face it all. Together, let sky,
sky fall. Let sky fall.
I screwed it up again.
When it crumbles, we will stand tall.
Where you go, I go. What you see, I see. I know I'll never be without the security of your loving arms keeping me from harm. Put your hand in my hand and we'll stand. let the sky fall. When it crumbles, we will stand tall. Face it all
together.
Let the sky fall. When it crumbles, we will stand tall. Face it all together at skyfall. Let the sky fall. We will stand tall at skyfall.
Wow, that's really in character. Did you hear how scratchy that was?
Ooh.
Hey kids, just one tiny little addition here at the end of my show. Of our show, really. I mean, come on. So, I just finished today the audio version of a story called... I was going to say Hope on the Rocks. Yes, that too. A Dune Steve episode called Hope on the Rocks. But after that, I finished the audio for my story... Stormy Weather. And when you hear this, it's out there and available. It's already out there on Amazon to buy the text version if you want. But I would I am much more confident, let's say, in the audio version, which should be available. In fact, is available by the time you hear this. So here's just a tiny little plug for it. Stormy Weather is a short story. I don't know. Everything is a short story to me, right? But the audio ended up being like an hour and 15, 20 minutes, which is nice. Still a short story about a tiny little farming community, not unlike where I grew up, that has a snowstorm. And it's up to the mayor of the town to... try and gather everybody together and make sure that nobody dies like happened years and years before the last time there was a great big snowstorm. And I finished it just now. I'm about 20 minutes late for meeting my cousin because I just wanted to finish it and I was so close. You know, I think I'll do a whole episode about it and I can talk about my one misgiving, really, with the story. But for me to only have one misgiving says a lot about this story. I was very happy with it while I was editing the last three segments tonight. And I encourage you to go out there and buy it. You know, the funny thing is, Big keeps bugging me about... Hey, it's time for us to run another story by you on the Dune Steve. What do you have? And this is going to sound so weird. I would rather run them here, and I would rather record them myself than do them on the Dune Steve now. Even though I know thousands of people... Okay, I'm funny. Seven people will hear them if I do them on the Dune Steve versus, you know, less than seven people if I do them myself. But yeah, Stormy Weather probably would have been a good choice. I finished it and I still have to do the copyright. At the very end, you say, you know, this has been Stormy Weather, written and narrated by Rish Outfield. Text copyright, I don't know, 2014, 15, somewhere around then. Probably not 15. And then audio production copyright 2016, and I give my production company. And anyhow, that's all I have to do, and then it is done. So that's cool. If you are feeling generous, and you should, after all this free entertainment, go out there and check that out. And I will be back here soon. Spoiler alert. I've got at least 10 episodes recorded, maybe closer to 15. So unless something happens to me or those recordings, yeah, it's inevitable that I will return. Good night.
The Rish Outcast really should not exist. But since it does, I suppose the best that can be said of it is that it was produced under a Creative Commons 3.0 license. Of course, that's a little bit like noticing the piranhas eating you of a very attractive coloring.